You have your Bibles. I want you to turn with me this morning to this 23rd division, the book of Psalms. I'm believing God to touch and minister to us in a very powerful way. Psalms, the 23rd division. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. For he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, and my cup runneth over. For surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Father, would you add your anointing to your word in Jesus' name? Amen and amen. Praise God. I want to reiterate something I ended up with last week. He said he leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. God doesn't bless me because he just wants to bless me. He blesses me because it makes him look good. He likes for me to live right because it makes him look good. Come on, church. You know how you are with your kids. You do something wrong, it embarrasses you more than it does them, because most of the time it don't embarrass them. Because you want them to do right. And when they do right, you brag about them. And you're really not bragging about them. You're bragging about how good you've been doing to bring them up. Glory. Hello. Amen. And the reality is, God loves to brag on us. Amen. Can you imagine the conversation between God when he walked in and the devil steps in and says, "Hey, how about Job? You won't let me touch him." God says, "Oh, that's not really true. You just can't get to him because he lives so good." Amen. Because let's face it, when you're close, he can't get to you. Those of you talked about the devil been on you all day long, I wonder. And y'all can figure out the rest of that statement. But if he's been on you all day long, that means you must be outside the hedge. Because if you're inside the hedge, you can't get in there where you are. Unless God allows him to do so. And that's going to be because God understands you can handle it. Come on, church. Amen. You say, "Wait a minute." He said, "Hey, your boy Job, you won't let me touch him." God said, "Oh, he just lives so close you can't get to it." He said, "Well, I tell you what, you let me get to him and you quit keeping me from him, and I'll have him cussing you for the day's over with." God said, "Take your best shot. I don't think it's going to happen." He goes and wipes out everything the man's got, and the guy's still worshiping God. And he comes back and he said, "Hey, you know, I took his kids, I took his money, I took everything he owned. It didn't even get to his body. I'll make him mad and he'll get upset with you, because the only reason he worships you is because you bless him." And you know, that's what the devil really thinks about us, that the only reason we worship God is for what we get out of him. And I'm afraid there are some people that if God didn't bless them every once in a while, they'd quit coming to church, because they got to have that high. They got to live on that. And they walk from one shout to the next, and they can't live without the shout. But a real Christian's one that can stand in a valley when everything's going wrong and everything's about turned upside down and still say, "I look to the mountaintop from which cometh my help, for my help cometh from the Lord." It's not about the mountaintop, and it's not about me getting blessed. It's about the fact that I love him. He is my Lord. He is my shepherd, and I'm going to make it through this because I know my Redeemer liveth, and I know I'm going to stand before him in the latter day, and I know that with my eyes I'm going to see him. Hallelujah. Glory. Whew. And that wasn't even in the notes. Glory. Listen, what do we know about valleys? They're surrounded by high mountains. Amen. You ever notice this? If you're in a valley, y'all not feel sorry for yourself, because there's two mountains on both, one on each side. That's what makes the valley. You either just came off of one of them mountains, or you're headed through the valley to try to get to the other mountain, because the valley is the quickest way to get to the mountain. Glory. And most of the time, if you're in a valley, it's because you're in that little lull between blessings. Amen. Because for every valley, there's two mountains, meaning I've been on one and I'm headed to the other. Amen. Come on, church. Smile at me. You say, "Preacher, what are you talking about?" We need to understand that's where valleys are. But listen, there are mountain barriers to keep you from reaching your goal, but a valley goes through them. Amen. That mountain may be there trying to keep you from somewhere, but that valley will get you through, because eventually you'll come out the other side and the mountain will disappear. Glory. Hello. That's good preaching. Amen. But now notice this. There are wrong paths through the mountains that end up in box canyons, or they just kind of evaporate and don't turn into a good trail. That is why you let the shepherd take you through the valley. Why? Because the shepherd will go through first to be sure where he's going, and he'll map out the trail you're going down, and he'll see to it that there's water that you can drink and some food that you can eat, so that when you get out the other end of the valley, you're not about to die and you're not about to famish, but he'll take care of you even in the valley. Could you say amen to that, church? Only shepherds can get sheep through a dark valley because they know where they're going. Amen. You say, now, wait a minute, preacher. What makes a valley dark? The fact that the sun can't get over the mountain to shine into the valley. Any of you ever been to up around Gatlinburg? You ever drove back over and went through what they call the Nantahala Gorge? That's where the whitewater raft. You ever want some fun? Whitewater raft the Nantahala. It's not that bad. It's got one or two fives. The last one is about 75 yards long, a waterfall that you jump off the end of it and drop about 25 feet. It's awesome. Glory. Amen. We did it with the kids. At least you're 8 or 9 years old. But what makes the Nantahala great is it's the middle of June and the water's still 60 degrees. And if you get out of the boat, it don't take you long to get in. I remember one time I fell out the boat and the guard looked up and he said, hey, didn't you fall out? I said, yeah. I said, it didn't take me long to get back this boat. I mean, it's the middle of the day, but the reason I'm saying that is Nantahala in the Cherokee simply means the gorge or the valley of the noonday sun, because the only time the water hits that river is in the middle of the day. The rest of the time it's in the shadows of the mountain on both sides. And you see, that's why we understand when we go through a valley, it's going to be dark, because the shadow of the mountains are there. But can I tell you that the shepherd knows the way through? Amen. And notice what it said, yea, though I walk through the dark valley. Valley is my choice. Amen. But the shepherd knows how to lead me through them. Could you say amen? I may be in a valley, but I got a shepherd that knows the way through. And if I hang on with him, I'm going to make it out. Why would he know the way through? Because I have not a high priest who is not touched by the feelings and the infirmities of his people, but was tempted in all things like as we, but without sin. No matter what I'm in, God has experienced it and he knows how to bring me out. Could you say amen? Adam and Eve chose the dark valley. In the book of Romans chapter 5, wherefore by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin, so death passed to all men, for all have sinned. But isn't it great to know that in Jesus Christ we all can be born again, and that sin can be washed away? He is the second incarnate of God. Hello? I said, wait a minute, he's the firstborn of God, that's true. But he made Adam. Amen. So Adam and Jesus are the only two that didn't come the natural way. And Adam sinned, and Jesus came for the reason of this. He brought us out of sin. He purchased our salvation. He was born the spotless Lamb of God. He lived in the world without sin, and he went to that cross without sin. And because sin couldn't control him, sin couldn't hold him, and he came forth on the morning of the third day and said, behold, I am he that was dead, yet now I'm alive, and I'm going to live forevermore. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me, though they die, yet shall they live. I have that hope that in the darkest valley of my life, I've got a God who can bring me out and give me joy that is unspeakable and full of glory through the power of his name. Could you say, oh. Sheep ignorantly stray in a valley of trouble. Isaiah 53:6, all we like sheep have gone astray. All we like sheep are gone astray. They do not see danger. They're too worried about eating. And they don't even realize they're defenseless. Now, I made the statement a few weeks ago that sheep are ignorant. That's why God compared us to them. And I had somebody come to me and I said, I can't believe you called us ignorant. I said, well, that's what we are. I didn't say he's dumb. I said, just ignorant. Dumb's when you don't know nothing. Ignorance when you do stuff you know you ain't supposed to do and do it anyway. That's ignorance. Glory. Hello? And sometimes we get so caught up in what we want that we do things we know are not right, because we think the end result's going to get us where we want to be. But the truth of the matter is, that's not true. But notice this, sheep are always selfish. You ever notice today's world in the church? It's all about us. Come on, y'all know what I'm talking about. Amen. It's almost my favorite time of the year. I love Christmas, especially Christmas at Walmart. Well, you go through the toy section and the Try Me toys are out. I try them. I go out there hitting that one of them buttons. I'll have them laughing and dancing and squawking and squealing. I'll pull all them rings out and have them talking. Glory. And you leave out and there's somebody behind you going, oh, who did that? Hello? And you know them pull toys, you pull them and they'll have like three or four different things they'll say. Well, I've got one for Christians. 90% of the time you pull the string out the back of the neck and they go, what about me? What about me? What about me? What about me? What's he going to do for me? We talked about having something at the church. Well, what's he going to do for me? Nothing. But we might minister to somebody, and that's what it's all about. Lord, I wish we could cut that string and say, hey, it's about God. It's about God. It's about God. It's about God. I don't matter. Glory. Amen. And boy, we could have a big time then. Amen. But I noticed this. In the valley of the shadow of death, it's a deep, narrow valley of darkness. What darkness scares us? We're afraid of the unknown. You ever notice that everybody's scared of the dark? That's a scientifically proven fact. It's just a matter of how much dark it takes to get you scared. I've had people say, I'm not afraid of the dark, but if you get in dark long enough, your subconscious takes over and you will get scared. So I can see something right now wanting to challenge that. Anytime you want to, we'll dig a hole, put you in the ground, cover you up, see how long you'll stay there. But we get in dark and people get afraid because we're scared of the dark, because you can't see what's out there. I never forget, I used to go coon hunting and I hated it when we got down there and everybody turned the lamps off. I mean, you can't see nothing and you keep hearing stuff. What is that? We had a fire one night, and I left the place. We were sitting around the fire, and the dogs was out there running, and all of a sudden we heard a panther squall. And I know y'all going to tell me ain't no such thing as a panther. Ask my wife. She saw one. Now, I know they might not be the panthers like you see in the thing, but they're black wildcats, and they're bigger than German shepherds, and they can hurt you. And they get in the swamp and they'll put their face down near the ground and they'll squall out and it echoes so you don't know where they are. And we're sitting in that thing and it squalled two or three times and the only thing we knew was it was getting closer to where we were. And I said, guys, all we've done is lit up supper for him. I could see him out there going, I get the big one first and then I'll eat the rest of them later. Lord. And about that time, the dogs came through the camp. One of them actually jumped the fire. When they did, I took off. The guy said, where are you going? I said, they know where it ain't. I chased them dogs all the way back to the truck. The other guys came out and said, well, we had to get the equipment. I said, what, my equipment? Glory. Amen. But church, the reality is we all are scared of darkness. It's something we don't know what's out there. We don't know where we're headed. And it's sometimes you do need to be scared. Come on, church. But notice this, darkness covers the evil of people. John 3:19, this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men who love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth light, neither cometh to the light, lest the deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, for his deeds may be made manifest that are wrought in God. Amen. Why do we not like dark? We stumble in the dark. Any of you try to walk through a house without the lights on? Oh, it's great if you've been through that house and know where everything's at. But when they play, let's move the furniture, why, daddy's gone. That is not a fun game. Because you stomp your toe. And let's face it, folks, it doesn't matter if you're part of the body of God. You ever heard this? I ain't hurting nobody but myself. You know how dumb that is? If you part the body and you hurt, you're going to hurt the body. I don't care what it is. I have stomped my little toe, hit it on something, and my eyebrows moved because they're connected. Huh? We stumble in the dark. And we also in the dark remember things sometimes we don't want to remember because our mind begins to wander. Darkness is Satan's kingdom. What causes shadows? The barrier of the light is distorted in the light. Can I tell you one of the greatest problems we got in the world is Satan loves to block the light in your life. He loves to put you in darkness, because as long as the light of God is shining in you, you're going to walk in his light and you're going to feel his presence. But if Satan can get the light out of you, he can cause you to mess up. Come on, church. Philosophy class, and I got in a discussion with a teacher one day. And he looked at me and he said, "If your God's so wonderful, why did he create sin?" And I said, "He didn't." He said, "Well, you said God created everything." I said, "He did. Everything that exists." I said, "God created it, but God didn't create sin. Because sin is not a created entity." He said, "Dude, what?" I said, "Let me ask you something. Is there any such thing as dark?" He said, "Of course there is. There's night and day." I said, "But wait a minute. How did you know night and day apart?" Until God said, "Let there be light." And the only time you had dark was into the absence of what God created, which is light. He looked at me sort of funny. He said, "Well, that's stupid." I said, "Might be, but it's the truth." I said, "Let me ask you this. Any such thing as cold?" He said, "Of course it is. You've been where it's cold." "Oh, I've been where it's real cold. But it's not cold. There's an absence of heat. Heat is the created entity created by the sun. When the sun goes away and there's not enough sun, because of whatever reason, the air gets to cool because it is a lack of heat." Well, preacher, what are you getting at? God didn't create sin. God got to the place where sin is simply a lack of light. It is a lack of God. And the less God you have, the more sin gets in your life. Come on, church, not yet. Some of y'all say, "Well, I sin all the time." Guess what? Get the light in your life, it won't happen. Come on, church. That's in this book right here. Walk in the light as you're in the light, having fellowship one with the other. If you hide the word of God in your heart, it is a what? A light under your path. When you get into a dark path, it's when you're going to stumble. But as long as you got the light, you can make it in the dark valley. You can make it through the darkness that surrounds you. That professor looked at me and said, "Boy, you're crazy." I said, "I know, I'm taking your class." Lord. Smile. But that's the truth. Sin is not a created entity. It happened because there was a lack of God. Satan allowed God to get out of his life, and then suddenly he began to think, "I'm equal to him." Glory. Now, church, if somebody creates you, you ain't never going to be equal to them. And what does man have a problem with? We live with God complexes. We keep thinking we better than we are. Smile. Amen. What causes shadows is a barrier of light that distorts the light. The original suggests is the valley of the shadow is the valley of death. The shadows do to us. Our active imagination scares us when we're nothing to fear but fear itself. We can be in darkness with nothing around us, but our mind will tell us something's there. Let me tell you something. A lot of us wouldn't have the phobias we got. We quit watching junk to create something and to create it. You wouldn't be afraid of zombies if you didn't watch stupid zombie movies. You wouldn't know there was any such thing, because they don't exist except in the figment of our imagination. Nod your head. That's good preaching. We wouldn't worry about vampires, because vampires don't exist. There is no such thing as vampires. The only real vampires I know work in a hospital that collect blood. Hello? But they don't eat it. Do you know where the legend of the vampire came from? You all know who Dracula is. His name was actually Vladimir Tepes. He was raised in Romania, in an area of Romania we call Transylvania. His father was the king. He was the head of the army. He's known in history as Vlad the Impaler, because when the Turks attacked, when he captured their army, instead of sending them home, he impaled them on sticks across the border with a sign, "Return, this will happen to you." And for some reason, the Turks decided Transylvania was not a place to fight anymore. When he became ruler of the country, he was so bloody the church would not allow him to be king because the king was the head of the church. So he called himself Count, took his dad's name, and changed his name from Dracula to Pesh to Count Dracula. And that's how the whole idea of vampirism got started, because he was a bloody man. But while he ruled, the people of Transylvania loved that man, because there was very little of crime going on. Because you committed a crime, you were impaled in front of the person you committed a crime against. They stuck you up in front of his house and you rotted off the stick. Glory. And for some reason, folks decided it wasn't worth stealing somebody's money if they were going to rot in front of his house. It wasn't worth killing somebody if you had to die to do it. And so all of a sudden, almost all robbery, all evil ceased until Dracula died. And when he died, they realized, we don't have an economy. And so they come up with the idea of vampirism, and they started selling it to the world. And the largest income in Transylvania is the tourist trade of the people coming in to see Dracula's castle, and to go through the place where he was raised, and to walk through Transylvania and hear the stories. And of course, when they killed people and they turned them into werewolves, it made it even better, because it had to be in Transylvania. And so on the way in, they've got people on the side of the road selling necklaces of garlic and wooden crosses so you can protect yourself from the vampires that don't exist. Glory. And you pay money to go see all this that don't exist. But we've got people in this world who are scared to death because of the figment of their imagination and the darkness of their valley that says the preacher's almost at 12 o'clock. And he'll turn into a vampire. We actually had a state overseer in Transylvania who believed in vampires. He wanted to stop and buy a garlic necklace. I said, dude, we in a van. There's eight of us in a 9-passenger van with luggage. You ain't getting no necklace. It's hard enough sitting here the way we smell without garlic going all over everybody. We preached that night, went back to the motel. I'd gone up, changed clothes, come downstairs, and I wanted something to drink. The only place to get a drink was across the street in the drink machine. I started out the door, and he grabbed me and said, where are you going? I said, I'm going to get a drink. He said, it's a full moon. I said, all right, I'll get two drinks in case Jack wants one. That's not a problem. I shot out the door, and I told Brother Tim Hill was with us. I told him, I said, if I could have found a ketchup pack, I believe I could have gave him a heart attack. I didn't find one. I come back with the drinks. The next day we went to the village where Vladimir Tepesh was raised. He would not get out of the van. He sat in that van crying. Why do we go to the house of the devil? Why do we go to the place of the devil? We could all die. We spent most of the morning looking for a bat. We were walking through, we were looking at the architecture, trying to find a bat to throw in the van, because I said, I bet if I throw one in there, he'll come out. Glory. Amen. The reality is we let these things control our lives. We've got people sitting right here who won't get up and walk down the street at night for the fear something's going to kill them. Listen, you don't even want to come in this building at night by yourself. This building pops and creaks and makes all kind of noise. And you, I come in here some mornings, it's pitch dark outside, and I get in here and I'll be in the office working, and I keep going and checking the hall because I keep hearing stuff. Ain't nothing there, but I hear it. What's really bad is every once in a while I forget to lock the door. Somebody will walk in, walk right up to me, and I'm busy, and I'm hustling up because there's somebody there. They weren't going to hurt me, but in my mind, I wasn't sure. That's where we are. Our guilt brings back memories of things that will mess us up. Our imaginations are worst and not our best friend. Shadows make us hurt ourselves. Shadows steal happiness. Shadows are illusions that make us imagine if there is nothing there. Shadows cannot hurt us, but they make us hurt ourselves. What's the greatest shadow to scare us? Death. Since shadow is caused by light, what should we not respond to? We should come to the light. John chapter 8, verse 12. And then spake Jesus again, said unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. In the B part of that verse, he says we should walk in the light. And he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And in the C part of that verse, he says, but ye shall have the light of life. Death's shadows shouldn't scare us, but it does. Because most of us really don't know what it's going to be like, and it bothers us. Do you realize Christ was born and lived his entire life with the shadow of death over him? Because every time somebody would say something to him, he'd say, my time is not yet. Because he understood from day one that he would end up at Calvary and die on a cross for man. You say, prove it, preacher, Philippians chapter 2, verse 7. But he made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. A God who knew nothing but life became a human being and understood that sooner or later I've got to die, but in my dying, all will live. Hallelujah. I'm going to close in just a moment. Most of you know that one of my mentors, probably a person I looked up to greatly as a young minister, was a man by the name of Earl Hall, Brother Ken Hall's dad. Brother Hall was a great man of God, a great preacher. But he probably showed more of how to be a Christian when you're facing death than anybody I ever met. He was dying with cancer. And he told his family, it's obvious God's not going to heal me. I'm only here because you keep praying for me. Would you just quit and let me go where I've been trying to get for the last 30-something years? He wasn't afraid of the transition because it was a place he had been looking for ever since he started living right. And church, I don't know that I could ever face death that way. I've thought about it in my lifetime. There have been times I wondered, was I going to live? But the reality is, I know that I am born again. And I'm not afraid of the shadow of death. You know why? Because the one that is with me has already been through that shadow. He's already walked through that valley, and he's already come out the other side. And the key word to this whole scripture is, yea, though I walk through. I'm not going there to stop. I'm not going there to stay. I'm not going there to hang around. I'm passing through that valley with the knowledge that even though I go through the valley, there is another side of that valley. And on the other side of that valley is the joy and the peace and the contentment that I have been looking for since the day I started living for God. Church, listen, I'm not here as your pastor because I'm going to get paid. I'm not here as your pastor preaching the gospel because I have to. I'm here because I want to. Because once I got saved, I want to do everything I can to assure that I've got a place on the other side. And listen, when I go to bed at night, I'm not worried about whether I'm going to wake up. And some of you, you know good and well, there have been times since I've been here when I went to bed at night not knowing if I was going to be alive very much longer. But you know what? I'm here, and I'm going to be here until God's through with me. Could you say amen to that, church? You say, now, preacher, how do you know that? I have had a man tell me that. He gave me a word from God. Thou shalt live until you die. Glory. You can't miss that one. Glory. I'm thinking to myself, that's profound. Of course, everybody else was shouting. Come on, church. It's better than some of the words y'all have gotten. Y'all have got words and fell out over them, got up, and it never came to pass. And y'all run down and let that same person give you another word. Glory. At least I could let this guy talk to me. He didn't miss that first one. Glory. Smile. You say, preacher, you're laughing at death. Why not? If I die, you ain't got to do nothing but show up and cry or wave or laugh or do whatever you want to do because everything's paid for. And it's all taken care of. I done picked out my casket. They carried me back there, look at them caskets. I said, you know, you got in, it's got a music box or something in it. I don't want to lay down there very long without something to listen to. We went out to look at our gray spaces we bought, and I said, I want this one under the tree. I'm real light-skinned, and I don't want to get blistered, so you bury me under this tree. And, you know, they cut the stupid tree down. I done that the other week. The tree's gone. I don't even know where I'm going to be buried now. I can't find my tree. Lord. I may just go to Buell and pick me out a hole and say, put me in that one. That's all you got to do at Buell. If you're in the family and I'm in all three of them, I can get in either one of them. Glory. See, preacher, you're crazy. No, I'm not. Because I agree with David. Yea, though I walk through that valley, I'm not going to be afraid. Because the one that's with me knows where we're going, knows how to get us there, and knows how to take care of everything that's going to happen. And because of that, I know that I know that I know I'm going to live. Could you say amen? Would you stand with me all over the house? Part B of this will be tonight. So you need to be here or you'll miss it. Glory. I believe with all my heart that it's important that we know who we are, where we are, and where we're headed. And if you're not sure this morning about where you're going, realize that every one of us is going to pass through the valley of the shadow of death. It is appointed unto man once to die, and then judgment. Nobody in here is going to cheat death. You're either going to die spiritually or physically, but you're going to die somewhere in this world. But if you die knowing that you know that you're under the blood of Calvary, then everything's okay. But if you're here this morning and you're not sure, then I understand that valley can scare you. Because you're not sure what's going to happen tomorrow or the next day. Father, I thank you this morning for your word. You said it is not by might nor by power, but by thy spirit, saith God. Father, I commend this congregation into your hand, every heart, every life, every soul. Lord, have your way in Jesus' name. God, move in your own way to touch our lives. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah.